on Shabbos, I said over a Dvar Torah from Chaim Kanievsky in his Sefer Taimei Dekra. He asked the question, he says, how is it possible for Sari Menu to have passed away while she was in the midst of the Akedah? Now granted, the Akedah was really being done by Avram, you know, in Yitzchak, but nonetheless, Sari Menu was involved in some other different way. So how could she have died while doing a mitzvah? We all know the concept of shluchei mitzvah in a nizukin, that if you're in the midst of doing a mitzvah, you're not hurt, you can't be damaged. So how is it possible that a person should be able to be hurt while doing such a mitzvah? And he answers, he says, that's only if it's not the person's time to pass away. If the person was supposed to pass away anyway, then a Kadosh Baruch Hu is mazmin it, that person will die while doing the mitzvah, so that he'll get the schus of that mitzvah while he passes away. So that was the schus. The merit is to die exactly at that time. You never want to compare, and you don't want to put something in, but you could ask the question. So I'm preempting the question with this answer. How is it shaykh that such a situation happened that people could be at davening and could be davening, could be doing a mitzvah and could pass away while davening? If shluchei mitzvah ein nizokin, then how is that possible? So the typical answer that's given when you're dealing with shluchei mitzvah is that there's thoughts of an aveira, thoughts of a lezara, and chas v'shalom to say that about some of the rabbeim that passed away. So how is it shayach that that happened? And this, I think Reb Chaim Kanievsky has it exactly correct, that if their time has come and the choice is there how they're going to pass away, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants such tzaddikim to pass away while in the midst of doing the mitzvah. And that's a possibility to understand a little bit how to preempt the question. It a little bit connects, but not as much connects what I was going to talk about today. You might have noticed that the heat went up in the basement over the last 2 days. Now granted, that maybe because it's 7.5 degrees below zero outside, it could be because of the fact that somebody turned it up. So it happens to be somebody turned up the whole heating system. I went to Ron last year one time, and I said to him, Ron, it's not hot enough. I think it needs to be turned down a little bit, or it needs to be turned up a little bit. Just something needs to happen. It's just not very comfortable in the basement. It feels a little bit too cold. And Ron's line back to me was, you guys don't need it perfect, right? You guys don't need it perfect. It's fine as long as it's a little bit, you know, warm and a little bit whatever. And I said, you know, he's right. You're right, Ron. We don't need a little bit. We don't need it perfect. We need it not warm, but not too warm. We need it cold, but not too cold. But the fact that it's a little bit off, right, we really shouldn't complain about it. I'm not going to comment on whether or not we're such babies that we can't survive or learn in a base medrash that is too warm or too cold. I'm not going to deal with that. That obviously is something that we should take issue with. Like, how can I not concentrate when it's a little bit too hot? Or how can I not concentrate when it's a little bit too cold? That's okay, fine. That's our baby, whatever. That's our generation. But I'm going to comment on the fact that Ron doesn't feel like it needs to be perfect for us. Why doesn't Ron feel that it needs to be perfect for us? I mean, let's be honest. If we are the reason why the world is running, that the Olam stands on three things, Torah, Avodah, Gemilas, Chasadim, and we're the ones who are accomplishing the greatest of the three, which is Torah, of Talmud Torah, Keneged Kulam, and Ron is working for this place, well, shouldn't he automatically do anything he can to make it perfect for us? Shouldn't it be that way? Why isn't he looking at us and saying, I'll do anything I can to make it perfect? And I'm not just saying it from Ron's point of view. It's not that it's just him, and I'm not making a mashkes on Ron that says, like, hey, Ron, it's your fault that everything is going on. I'm really asking on anybody that's around here. Why isn't it that people aren't jumping up to do your bidding? Why aren't they? I know you want them to. So why isn't it that when you leave a tray on the table, why isn't it that everybody back there, right, who's working for the kitchen, isn't coming along and saying, let me take your tray for you, sir. Let me be able to grab it for you and I'll put it away. Why isn't it that way? So the answer should be obvious, right? They don't think you're worth it. They don't think that what you're doing is chashuv enough, that they should be serving you. They're doing their job. Their job happens to be to work at a yeshiva. But to them, it makes no difference to them if they're working in a yeshiva
or in a little school, or in a public school, where nobody's learning Torah. To them, it makes no difference. And to me, that's sad. Because they should realize that they're working in a yeshiva. They should be looking at Bukhram or learning Torah all day long and saying, what can I do to make things easier for them? How can I make sure that these guys are not just taken care of? That they have everything so perfect that they don't need anything else. That they don't even have to ask any questions. We'll take care of it before they even ask it. That's the way it should be. So what are we doing wrong? Why are they not thinking that way? Why do we not have people following us around wherever we go saying, how can I help you, sir? What can we do to make it that way? Number one, and before, and this is our number one in anything. We all believe the Torah was given in Har Sinai, right? Are there any doubts about that? Some of the guys who might have doubts about that might not be here right now. But we all pretty much agree that the Torah was given on Har Sinai through HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu. It is the greatest thing that has happened in the history of the world. It is the only reason for the world to exist in the first place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give of His goodness to people, allowed it to be through the Torah, and the whole world was totally made waiting for there to be a Yom HaShishi, right, that sixth day of Sivan, or the seventh day of Sivan, where everything came together. So the world runs on Torah, not on Duncan. The world runs based on Torah. And that is the real point of Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. Shavuot night, we sort of get it. We sort of get it. We give up sleep. We don't go to bed. We stay up and we say, this is the most important thing that anybody could do. And we understand it. We cop it a little bit. We get it. We say, you know what? We really should be staying up a little bit later. We should be doing this because this is what the world is all about. So on Shavuos, we sort of get it. And people who are here in this yeshiva and not elsewhere understand that the reason why you're here is not just to get a degree, because we understand that a degree is important, but you could get it anywhere else. There's a point to being here. And the point is morning Seder, afternoon Seder, night Seder, to be able to sit and learn, daven, say something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, expect to have something back, to have a type of a Seder. And we know that we're not in Lakewood, we're not in Bonavich, we're not in the Mir Yeshiva. So we understand that it's different than those yeshivas, and that our Seder might not be the same way, might not be done in the same vein as it's done in those areas. But nonetheless, everybody here agrees that Torah is an absolute in your life. You don't know how it's going to be able to accomplish itself when you get older and you don't have somebody like me who's breathing down your back telling you, learn or I'll kill you. So granted, maybe that won't be the same when you're out of yeshiva, but nonetheless, you all agree that it's an important thing, important way of looking, a way of looking at the rest of your life. You want Ron to look at us better? Well, start looking at yourself and saying, am I representing the Jewish people as best as I could? Am I representing a Bukhara yeshiva as well as a person possibly could represent a Bukhara and yeshiva? I mean, if you're eating, and a person like you, who's Machshav Torah, and understands that the world is here for this purpose, if you sit there, and you forget to make a bracha, how could you do that? How is that possible? So what's the answer? The answer is, well, you didn't think about it. You forgot. So you just said, listen, it happens sometimes, I just wasn't thinking about it. Well, Ron sees people during Seder and sees that he walks in and he sees a bunch of people screaming at each other in a base medrash. He sees phones out. He sees people checking things up. He sees people sort of lifting, you know, listlessly looking off into space. And he wonders, what are these guys doing? What's the point? It's just a loud library. That's what it is. A loud library with lots of books in one language that he doesn't understand. And nothing more than that. And people play with their phones in the library. People play games in the library. People talk to each other in the library, although not as loud as they might do here. And he says, well, it's just a library. It's just a bunch of guys just studying for a test that might or might not come. Then he has no chashivas. He looks at it and he says, listen, I'll fix their lights. I'll take care of their heat. I'll make sure that they have a couple things that are taken care of, but I'm certainly not going to make it that much easier for them. It doesn't have to be perfect. I mean, all you're doing is studying, right? If all you're doing is studying, then what difference does it make? I wouldn't treat a guy learning biology any different from a guy who's just sitting here and learning. So honestly, he says to himself, what difference does it make? And then when he hears or sees certain things that people do that may be against his way of looking at life, and says, how in the world could these guys be doing that? Well, then it gets even further down. What could that be? Honestly, I'm just saying this. How in the world does a Talmid Chacham leave empty bottles on a table after they drink from them? In a Beis Medrash. How do you do that? How is that possible? You finish a bottle, you drink something, forget about whether you can eat or drink in a Beis Medrash. Let's say you can, because we want you to be learning more, so you're able to eat and drink in the Beis Medrash. You're sitting in the Beis Medrash, you have a drink, you have a cup, you have some food, whatever it is, and you eat something. Then you leave it in the Beis Medrash, and you sit there with the crumbs, and you just let the crumbs sit there right after you finish? You don't clean up after yourself? It's a Beis Medrash. That's what it's there for someone else to clean up after you? It's your Beis Medrash. How are you treating this? Why are there empty styrofoam cups sitting on that table? Why is there an empty Diet Coke can sitting on that table? Why are there coffee mugs sitting on the table? No, you don't understand. I got up from morning seder and I wasn't like, my head was so into learning, I didn't even think about taking my mug back. Honestly, is that the reason? I'm totally okay if that's the reason. Then I'm not only am I okay, I'm masking. You can leave your mug on the table that way. Why are your sparin left on the table after you finish? Do you not have a cubby? Do you not have a place to put it afterward? If you don't, do you want me to help you get one? Why, if you take a safer out before you leave, now granted, that doesn't have to be done at the end of Seder. When you leave, at the end of the day, why is someone else picking up your sparin and putting it away? Why is that happening? First of all, okay, let's deal with the guy who actually took out more than one sefer during Seder. That's good. That's great. You're not just learning the Gemara. You're not just learning that up. You're doing more than just one thing. But why in the world does it have to look like it looks like tables that are just filled with random svarim? You took out a book to be able to check up an Aramaic word and then you leave it there on the table? You took out papers, you had papers that Rabbi Friedman gave you for you to look over, Rabbi Sussman gave you to look over, and then you just sit them, you just put them down on the table, you just leave them there? There's no chashivas to anything? Where's your svarim? Where should they be? What should a table look like after you're done learning? What should it be like? While you're learning, great, have 70 svarim there. I don't care. Have 70 svarim piled up high. Learn all of them. Put your mind into every single one, of course. Have everything there. But when you're done, you're done. Pick it up, clean it up, and put it away. It's a Beis Medrash. It's not your garbage pile. You mean to tell me, honestly, I want you to honestly tell me, you mean to tell me I'm leaving it there so that tomorrow morning I don't have to waste the 7 seconds to go get my safer from my cubby and bring it to the table? Is that your reasoning? Garbage. Absolute garbage. That is not your reasoning. You're a lazy bum blaming it on other things. That's not the reason why. It's because you're too lazy to pick up your sperm and put it away. And you want someone else to either do it for you, or you show other people, see how stark I am? I have my safer open. Maybe it'll even stark enough to keep it open instead of wide open. And then you'll leave it open like that. And now I can go. Why? Why does a table have to look this way? Why should it be? That table looks disgusting. Literally disgusting. This is not a Beis Medrash where Ron would walk in and say, this is chashuv. These people are machshiv themselves. No, this is a Beis Medrash where people are looking in, they're coming in, they're saying, this looks like a massive mess. And if the tables are a mess, then why shouldn't they let the floors be a mess? Why in the world are there 6 talisim that are sitting on top of that chumash shelf? I've been looking at them for 5 days already. Why are they up there? Did anyone check them? Did anybody look at them? Why are they there? If it's treated like a piece of garbage, then Ron's going to treat you like a piece of garbage. And he has the right to. He has every right in the world. Because if you're not machshav of yourself and what you're doing, then why should he be machshav of you? Why should he think that you're any better than any guy who's learning anything in any library anywhere? You got to teach yourself how to do these things. Honestly, you know what I cleaned up right before I left? There's still some of it on the floor. I didn't even notice. Somebody tore off the little wrapping of that water bottle and then left the little pieces on the table. How do you do that? How do you allow that to happen?
You want to talk about just not having a phone on in the base medrash? You want to talk about how a person should sit there and he should or shouldn't eat in the base medrash? I'm telling you, leaving your sfarim around, taking a sefer out, and then never returning it, expecting someone else to do it for you, or just not even thinking about it, it's not important enough to me. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Especially if it's not even a sefer. If it's just a piece of garbage. You can't expect anybody to have that. You know how we sway? We sway when we're learning. We sway when we're davening. It's an automatic Jewish trait. It's a character trait that's been in our system for years already. That everybody sways. It's because when we received the Torah in Har Sinai, we got it bereses bezeah. We got it while we were trembling. We got it while we were sweating. We literally felt it. And we went back and forth and back and forth because we really felt it. And that bren is still there. And when a Kadosh Baruch Hu allows us to be able to sit and learn, we have that yearning, that drive to just go back and forth and back and forth. You feel like you're in Matan Torah. You should feel like it's all over again. It's happening right there. And now, Matan Torah wasn't this big of a mess. It wasn't that way. You know what's called Yechezkel ben Buzi? Yechezkel ben Buzi. Why was he called Ben Buzi? Says Rabbi Chanan brings down a medrash. He says Shabiza Atzmo Divrei Torah was mevaze himself over Divrei Torah. Says Rabbi Chanan, Chanas v'shalom. You could be mevaze yourself for Divrei Torah. If you're learning Torah and then you're mevaze yourself, you didn't really learn Torah. You don't do that. A person who learns Torah, a Talmud Chacham, you can't imagine a Talmud Chacham walking around with a revav, a little stain on his shirt, a little whatever it is, let alone being mevazi yourself publicly. How could it be possible that he's known as Yechezkel ben Buzi? There's no way. Lo alinu al adas kacha. It can't be, says Rav Chanan. That's his wording. There's no way that that's just. Korach Torah should be Miley, right? It should be Miley. So what's Pshat? Rather, he did what he was supposed to do Nebuah-wise. He did what he was supposed to do. He gave his Nebuah, and then he ran to go learn. He ran to go right afterwards, so that when they were Mevazah him, he was constantly in the Beis Medrash, sitting and learning. Wasn't that he was Mevazah himself, or allowing himself to be Mevazah? Chas v'shalom, you can't say that about, that's not what a Talmud Chacham does. He was allowing himself to run to the base matter so that he wouldn't be. They were biza atzmo. They were mavazehim on top of the words of Torah that he learned, on top of everything else that he did. This is true kavodat Torah, and that's what it really means. You won't see Sfardim treating a base kinesis with anything but the utmost respect. You won't see it. You walk into a Sfardim and you see how honorable the place is. You can see it. You can see it in their faces. They would never do that. They would never do it. I don't know. I don't daven in a Sfardim and I have absolutely no idea. I would doubt they're having issues with pulling out phones in Sfardim and Yanim. Maybe it's an issue. And maybe it's there. For some reason, us Ashkenazim never got that, and we never brought in that amount of Kiddusha. We never worked on ourselves to get to that point. Kavodat Torah. To be able to sit there and say to ourselves, if I see that I brought out a sefer, or if I have something on a table that's mine, or even that's not mine, but it looks disgusting, my automatic reaction should be, pick it up, don't let it look this way. To do something about it. And at the end of the day, when you're finished learning, you're finished. That means you're done. You're going to say the Yerutzim that's in your Gemara on the first page of the Gemara. You're going to get up and you're going to say it. If you're ready to say it, get your Sfarim off the table. Make it look like it's a base medrash. And if you're going to tell me, well, wait a second. I don't mean to say this in a bad way, but there are people in the base medrash that are tremendous coming to Chachamim that are like that. They'll just leave a sefer on their table. So what does that mean? I mean, why should you expect more from me when that person is not expected to do that? I'm going to tell you, I don't have a mind like this. I will tell you, there are still Rabbanim in the world that have their head kulo Torah to such a point where they literally are not thinking about anything else. There are certain people, and they tell you that they were up all night thinking about a Tosfos. They were up all night thinking about a Tosfos. They literally were. When they say they got up at 4 o'clock in the morning in order to prepare a shir, they got up at 4 o'clock in the morning to prepare a shir. My claim is not on them. And if you're in that category, I don't mind me picking up your sparring for you. I'm saying if you want to be the person that's going to eventually be that way, you start off by cleaning up after yourself. You start off with pure, simple derech eretz. Pure and simple more than anything else. I cannot believe this actually happened, but I'm going to end with this. I'm going to say the fact that this happened, the fact that this was even close to it, I couldn't believe it. I come to a table, and two people got up and left their trays on the table. I saw both of them get up. So I figured they were coming back for their trays and they'd come back. No, it's the lunchroom, okay, so they were going to come back afterward. So they didn't. And I saw one of the guys walking away to go upstairs. So I called out loud and I said, "Hey, thanks for letting me take your tray back for you." So what do you think the guy did? What do you think? The guy said, "Thanks, Rabbi," and then walked upstairs. Are you kidding me? It's literally, you cannot learn Torah if you don't have that little bit amount of derech eretz. You leave something in and that's what you do? Now forget about what it tells me about the person. Forget about all that. How in the world did you let that happen? You should have run. You should have run. You know me and Rabbi Haskell have a running joke? Every time I sit next to him, I try to take his tray to go bring it back for him. Because even though he's only a few years older than me, in the 40, 50, I don't know, but however many years, I still try to take it from him to be able to go, and he pulls it back and he throws his chair all the way back so that I make sure that I never take it. People, derech eretz, think about what you're doing. Think about being machshav what you're doing. And let Ron see that you are truly a Talmid Chacham, and not just another guy studying in a random library. You're a person who's a Talmud Chacham who believes that there's such a concept of Kavod HaTorah and Chashivas HaTorah. Allow it to be that way. Make yourselves look and act chashuv. Put it on. And I want to see it. And I do have higher expectations of you. I have very high expectations of you. I want it to start with your derech eretz. Start with that and let's build up from there. Have a good day.